Splinters of Jade grapples with mature and sensitive topics, which could be triggering for some listeners. There may be scenes involving the themes ranging from alcohol and drug use, suicide and forced marriages, to violence, horror, and the dehumanization of certain castes, classes, and nations of people. Please see the show notes for episodes of details. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Splinters of Jade, the Legend of the Five Rings role-playing game podcast. Today we're going to look at character creation, and I'm here with Buell Richardson. We're going to take a look at Kuni Garu.
My name is Buell Richardson. I am playing Kuni Garu, a Crab Clan Kuni Purifier.
So, as a purifier, what made them stand out amongst their peers?
Well, during his time at his school, he's very hyper aware of everything that's going on around him and into the minute details of the katas and the invocation rituals that were being taught. He'd see the specific details. He's very aware of what specifics are going on.
All right. So who does Kuni Garu report to? Who's their duty to?
His prime duty is to Kuni Hatsuo, the sensei of the purifier school that he went to, who is also his adopted father.
I'm sure we'll get to why he was adopted a little bit later.
Yes.
Anyone else?
He also reports to the Emerald Magistrate, which I can't remember the name because I didn't write it down.
Isawa Karasu.
Yeah, Isawa Karasu. He's been seconded to Karasu as an underling to the magistrate to do whatever they deem proper.
All right. So that kind of fills their giri, their duty. Converse to that is what is their passion? What do they long to do?
Oh, Garu longs to find the tainted beings that killed his parents when he was 8 years old.
And how old is he now?
He's now 20.
Okay, so 12 years have passed?
Yeah, it's been 12 years. And it's because of his family being destroyed and actually his village being destroyed, with him being the survivor, that is where Hatsuo found him and adopted him.
Okay, so how is that passion to find the thing that destroyed the village going to conflict with the duty to the, especially the magistrate?
Well, the fact that he is wanting to find the ones that destroyed the village, he's a bit impatient, especially when it comes to court aspects. It's like, oh, you need me to be in court? I need to be out there finding them. Oh, you want me to go north? I've heard they're south. I need to go south to find those that have killed my family. So like I said, it's going to be, he wants to go one way. He's being told to go another.
So kind of that push and pull idea. Yeah. All right. So, you know, clearly it sounds like he's got a good relationship within the Kuni. Within the Kuni. But what about the rest of their clan?
Well, since most of the rest of the crab look at the Kuni with respect of the fear nature, because the Kunis, we go out and we do what needs to be done to fight the Shadowlands. They don't respect us because, well, we're helping them, but they also fear us because we do shit they won't do. So most of the rest of the clan looks at me as like, oh, he's a purifier. Okay, we respect him.
But give him some breath?
Yeah.
All right. And underlining all of what happens in Rokugan is the thought of Bushido. What does Garu think of Bushido and what about the specific tenets?
Yeah. Well, Bushido itself has merit at times, but other subject, I ignore. It's like compassion. I don't care. You're tainted. You die. Oh, you're underling or stuff. You're tainted. You die. So it's in courtesy. Why should I be courteous to someone who I don't respect?
Is there any points that really stand out to him?
Oh, you would ask that one. I didn't write that down. There are actually aspects of Bushido that do relatively stand out, probably. Makoto is very evident. Search for the truth. Oops, wrong one. And Chugi. Say, search for truth, put them at odds with, yeah, I think that's right. Nope, wrong one. That's you. Thank you.
That's me.
Chugi, duty and loyalty, and you, courage, are very prime for him. Because it is his duty to obey his lord, even if it does conflict with what he wants to do. And he's got to be very courageous to face up to the Shadowlands.
What about, let's look at what Kuniguru has done so far. Clearly had a hard childhood, but what is the greatest accomplishment that Kuniguru has accomplished so far?
Surviving the destruction of his village by the tainted and not being tainted. He, as I said, he was 8 years old. He is the sole survivor.
So survival will be a big thing for him.
Yes.
Right. What holds the character back?
He can't remember anything that happened during that year. He knows his village was destroyed. His family was destroyed. But he doesn't remember it. There is nothing there. So he wants to find those that killed his parents. But he doesn't know anything about it. Can't remember anything.
Interesting. So, you know, we're going to have a lot of conflict in his own mind there. What brings him peace?
Well, as he was also growing up, he worked with the Kaiju on weapons and armor. So he will take a piece of armor and study it, look at its construction, how it's the pros and cons of it, the flaws. In going into the details of the armor or of a weapon, looking at the balance of a katana, the heft of a daisho, the strength of a tetsubo, looking at the arrow that and how it interacts, brings him peace, the use of weapons and armor to do his duty.
So the crab are known for being very courageous, very brave, the Kuni especially. But I'm sure there's something that Kuniguru is afraid of or has difficulty with.
He's not really afraid of anything. He just has difficulty with people keeping him from doing what he wants. He's very impatient. So court aspects don't really work well with him because he wants to be out there doing stuff. And unfortunately, in the court, you've got to be all courteous and all kind. It's like, oh, give you a gift. No, I refuse and offer, refuse. It's like, you're going to give me a gift. Fine, I'll take it. I can use this. Now, can we go?
So, you know, what about, does he fear death?
No. He actually looks forward to dying surrounded by the tainted.
All right. Well, who has your character learned from the most in their life?
It's like I said, it would be Kunihatsuo, the sensei of his school. Because he was adopted by Hatsuo and has learned from him from the age of 8.
All right. I have a feeling I know the answer to this next question. The Kuni are pretty well known for this. What's the first thing that someone is going to notice when encountering Kunigaru?
The Kabuki face paint says vengeance. It's the character for vengeance.
All right. How does a Kuni go to react to stressful situations?
Well, as it starts out, he'll start bunching his fists until stress gets so much, then he strikes out the closest thing. Whether it's animate or inanimate, doesn't matter.
He just bottles up that anger and releases it in one blow?
Yes.
All right. So, stretching out a little bit further from, you know, the personal there, what are his pre-existing relationships with other families, clans, organizations? We've already talked about his sensei. What else?
He doesn't have any really close knits with any other of the families or clans, because he thinks he's not on too good terms due to his makeup, because a lot of them, they see it and it's like they draw back. And he feels that most of the clans are blind in their ways, though the Yogo to him are worthwhile in his eyes due to also the fight against the darkness.
Hmm. So, I mean, I know his previous family, his true family was killed. He got adopted. Does he have anybody else in his family right now?
No. He is pretty much a loner other than his foster father.
Okay. So when they were alive, how would his parents have described him?
His parents would have described him as very precocious, very intuitive, and also very spiritual.
Well, now time has passed. 12 years can change a person a lot. How would his sensei, who is his new father, describe him?
Definitely would still say he's very in tune with the spirits and very hot-headed. No longer precocious, in truth, but definitely very eager to learn and eager to fight.
All right. So who was Kunigaru named after? Who was he named to honor?
It was his great-great-great-grandfather, Hiruma Goma, who died fighting against the Shadowlands Oni. He was on a scouting mission. He discovered the Oni, and before it could attack the Emperor's son, he killed it. And in the same time, it killed him.
So you said Hiruma Gomi.
Hiruma Goma.
Hiruma Goma, sorry. So was his mother or father the Hiruma?
His mother. Okay. Mother was Hiruma, father was Kuni.
Okay. So what's the character's personal name then?
He takes the personal name of Goma to truly revere his great-great-great-grandfather.
Right. And we touched on this earlier. How should Kunigaru die? How would Kunigaru like to die?
Surrounded by the tainted, specifically those that killed his parents and destroyed his village.
How do you think he'll really die?
Surrounded by tainted? Just because the crane wasn't tainted initially, he will be tainted by the time Guru dies.
Well, thank you, Buell. I'm looking forward to seeing how Kunigaru faces all the issues that are going to come up in this campaign.
I look forward to it, too. Thank you, Chris.
Splinters of Jade is a work of fiction and uses the Legend of the Five Rings role-playing game's 5th edition rules by Fantasy Flight Games. Splinters of Jade is not affiliated with Fantasy Flight Games. Our music is by Darren Curtis. More of his music can be found on SoundCloud and Bandcamp, as well as on his website, darrencurtismusic.com. Our logo was designed by Nick's Animalia. Audio engineering and editing was done by Brennan Thorson. Thank you for listening.